Welcome to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks.
Hi, I'm Amy Lennox, and I'm in opening night, and you are listening to Theatre Audience Podcast.
Yeah, you are.
Well, good evening, Darren.
Good evening, Natalie. How are you?
I'm great. How's your week been?
Well, week's been really good, actually. Very eventful in many ways, actually, with work, working on some scripts, which is really nice, and also seeing lots of theatre. It's been quite a busy few weeks. What about you?
Yeah, hectic. At GCSE drama performances for my year 10s. We've got the school show is like right in the middle of the rehearsal process. So it's all systems go. And then we've got GCSE. We've got, yeah, alongside the podcast, and I'm starting a new course. So yeah, a lot.
A new course in what?
Yeah, in audiobooks and voice reel.
Well, that's exciting.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, watch this space. Watch this. I'm using all my different voices today.
What happened with the stand-up comedy thing?
Well, I haven't booked a stand-up comedy. I'd already booked this course, which was straight after my solo performance course. And so that'll be the next one. So that'll be my one after summer. Although there are a couple of summer intensives that I've got in the pipeline. I might even do an acting musical theatre one.
Well, that's really exciting. Looking forward to hear more about that. And I hope it really works out for you. I mean, you have got one of those standout voices, Natalie. You really do. I mean, it's one of those voices where I can listen to time and time again.
Oh, why, thank you. Which is just as well, because you've listened to my voice for nearly 30 years.
Yes, haven't I just?
Right then. So you're kicking off. What have you seen?
Well, the many things I've seen, the first thing we're going to talk about today is, which actually was really, really fun, more fun than I thought it would be, and that's Calendar Girls by Tim Firth. And this is based on the true story and the hit film of 2003, starring Helen Mirren, Julie Waters, Celia Imrie, like a real all-star cast. Now, this is on at the Mill Theatre in Sonning. Now, this is the second time I've been there, and you still haven't gone, and you really must go. Everyone must go. It's in a wonderful space. It's a whole dinner and theatre experience. There's a restaurant there. You get a two-course meal. And then after dinner or lunch, or the matinee, you walk through into the theatre space. And it's really good. I mean, you know, I've only seen two shows there, and both of them were great. But this one specifically, you have to go and see if you can, because it stars our very dear friend, Vashenka Blake.
Oh, love her. Do you know what? She is such a busy lady. I've been following her Facebook page and I love her energy. She's like us. She's out all the time experiencing like the entire world. So what was it like? I need to see this.
It was really fun. It was very well staged. I mean, obviously you've got the nudity bit where they reveal themselves and for the calendar. And the way it's done with costume and the direction stuff, you obviously don't reveal anything. But bless her, Vashenka is quite a busty woman. She plays Celia. And you might know the character. She actually plays Celia Imrie's character in the film. But it's that famous line where we're going to need bigger buns.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So when she puts the buns up to her breasts, they don't quite cover. So they need bigger buns. But it was really wonderfully done. I mean, it was a matinee performance. So apparently, speaking to Vashenka afterwards, it was a little bit quiet. But I mean, as far as I was concerned, it was a great audience. But they've had some quite, quite loud responses to some of the scenes from a previous evening's performances, which I can kind of imagine. And there was some really cool standout moments of pure comedy gold. And what I loved as well is you can tell there was some kind of like ad-libbing on parts where they were just kind of like finding their way through it, in a sense that it fitted really perfectly. So for instance, if Vashenka wasn't quite in her costume and she needed a bit more time, then they would kind of, you know, just ad bits. So there wasn't like, oh my God, you know, things are frozen and stuff. So it works really, really well. Definitely recommend. It's definitely the perfect play for the venue. The Mill Theatre in its area as well, Sonning around West London, you know, it's very much an older crowd, and so this kind of show is perfect for them. It's wonderfully directed by the artistic director of the theatre, Sally Hughes, set designed by Terry Parsons, with wonderful costumes with Natalie Titchener. And again, like I said, for the photos for the calendar, where they've got their items of whether it be the sunflowers or whether it was the buns or whatever it might be, it's very well created, so nothing pops out, as it were. So keeps the ladies safe, as it were. And but yeah, but it really is a wonderful piece that will make you cry, will make you laugh, and also make you blush. There were some moments that, oh, okay, you know, even for me. But no, it's
even
wonderful.
You.
Even for me, I know, nothing really makes me blush, does it? But wonderful seeing Bashenka back on stage. The last time I saw her, and you saw her with me actually, was the Da Vinci Code
at Churchill Theatre. That was on national tour, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Luke Shepherd play. Yeah. But you know, a lovely cast. Did a terrific job. It's definitely a wonderful theatre to go and visit. The whole experience, I love it. You go for lunch, you see the matinee, you have a chat with people after in the bar. It's a real eventful day, especially for me.
Listen, is that for everyone though, or is that just you as a press invite?
No, it's for anybody.
That's for everyone.
Yeah, so tickets cost between £75 and £85, and that includes a 2-course dinner, and the food is superb. You know, it's very nice food. It's not just something you get. Like, remember the dining experience
we did
at Fawlty Towers? Yeah, I was going to say that. Not quite like that, but no, far better. I mean, it's almost, you know, like going to a top class restaurant. It's really well done. And then the show, the quality of the productions are always high. The buyer is lovely, and for extra bonus points, you might even get to see the fabulous George Clooney. Because he lives next door to the theatre, and he often pops in apparently when he's in town.
Okay, so next time I'll come along with you, and we'll just knock on the door.
Well,
see if we can get an interview.
Well, apparently I hear Brad Pitt is in residence whilst he's filming here.
What, with George Clooney in the
same
house?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a big house, so why not? You know,
well,
maybe
we'll knock on the door and we'll see. We'll see. Just have a little interview about what theatre you've seen recently next door.
Yeah. Why not? But also, just want to mention, they're actually doing a fundraising campaign right now to raise funds so they can actually extend the whole space by including accommodation for actors and stuff. So that when they have actors, because it's quite far out of London, it's not, you know, it's
what's the nearest station?
Reading.
Oh, okay.
And right. Then it's a short taxi ride.
Mm-hmm.
And Reading's easy to get to.
Quite quick on the train, yeah.
You know, the Lizzie line gets you quite there. Gets you there fast. So, but looking forward to what they do next.
When's it running till?
This one's running until the 1st of June. So there's some time left, but it will creep up on you. So yeah.
Excellent. Well, another production that is running until the 1st of June is Mackinac, which we went to see together. So thank you very much to the Old Vic for our press tickets. We had fabulous seats. We were in row L of the stalls, and it was, well, I absolutely loved this production. I wasn't sure what to expect, to be fair. A couple of colleagues had been to see the show a couple of days before. And I was very much like, don't tell me anything. I'm looking forward to just going to see it without hearing anyone else's opinions or reading any other reviews. And so it was an hour and 50 minutes straight through without an interval. And this was directed by the fantastic Richard Lipton. Previously, things that I've seen that he's directed are Streetcar, Named Desire, that was at the Young Vic, and he also did Death of a Salesman. He's also, Darren, I don't know if you read this in the programme, but he's directed some episodes of Black Mirror, which we were talking about in our last episode when we were talking about Artificially Yours.
It's funny you should say that, because thinking back to some of the performance, especially the bit with the drilling, do you remember the drilling part?
Yeah.
The road drilling?
Yeah,
so
that was
the way
very
they did
clever.
That, you know, the choreography, the direction, and the lighting cues and stuff. Yeah, that felt very kind of Black Mirror-ish, actually. So, yeah.
That drilling moment was incredibly clever, because I think it was very deliberate, the spot in which the guy that did the drill. I mean, no one will understand what we're talking about unless they've seen the show. But the very specific spot in which the guy did the drilling, and the key moment at which that happened, and then that incredible shadow that was cast upon that back wall, I don't think that that was by mistake. I think that was utterly deliberate, because it had the image that it created, that you and I both immediately noticed, was obviously to do with male dominance and the fact that she's there, she's pregnant, except I don't know. It was just very, very clever. The more I think back over different moments of that production, the more and more clever I realised that the direction was. Those things were incredibly deliberate. And the moments of darkness and the intimacy scene, and how that was so completely different to that intensity that we'd felt with that stark sort of yellow that was coming at us for those first three scenes. It was just so clever. It had these Brechtian vibes, you know, with the labels that were placed, you know, that were lowered and raised, but it was so clever. And the awkward scene with the husband, I mean, this is an A-level drama theatre text. And so there were quite a lot of students there when we were there. But the ensemble work was so cleverly thought out. There was so much there for students to write about. So if there's any heads of drama teachers out there, and they're listening to this podcast, if you want a production, whether you're doing it as your set text or not, take the students to see this, because there is so much that they can squeeze out of this. The sound design was really clever. There were a couple of moments where you and I looked at each other, we were like, where's that sound coming from? And it was just this surround sound, really eerie. I noticed that the sound design was done by Benjamin Grant. He did a production called Education, Education, Education. It was on, I think about five years back now. And that was at our favourite, Trafalgar Studios. The set was beautiful, really clever. I love what they do with that old, I love the old Vic, because it's just such a beautiful frame. It really is. And then when they go and put something so modern in the middle of it, and I saw that with Daniel Radcliffe, when he did Endgame, that also had a kind of really small box set kind of encapsulated in that proscenium arch, old-fashioned traditional decor, and so the lighting again really enhanced that set. It was just powerful, it was clever, inspirational direction. And Rosie Sheehy, who played the young woman, I mean, there's a lot of reviews out there, and they're saying that this is a performance of a lifetime, etc., etc. She was stunning when I saw her in Oleana at the Arts Theatre in the West End. That was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago as well. Or was it? Was it more recent? It was about 3 years ago, maybe. Not sure. But she was utterly incredible. But of course, that ensemble also helped. And Carla Harrison Hodge really stood out for me. She was the telephone girl and reporter. Her facial expressions and everything. I've seen her in Cyrano de Bergerac and Amadeus. But yeah, I've given it a 5-star. I thought it was superb, superb.
Superb, superb. Yes, it was originally at the Ustinov, the studio at the Theatre Royal Bath. So it's a joint production. So it was there first, and it's come into London via the old Vic. I think it's got a lot of potential to being quite a high runner for the Olivier's next year, to be fair. As something for best play, best
actress.
Perform actress, defo. Absolutely. Defo. I mean, she must be absolutely exhausted after doing that for almost 2 hours. And she's draining. Barely off stage.
No.
The intensity, again, like you said about your A-level students and all forms, whether it's studying it as a literature piece or a drama piece or performance piece, you know, that was one hell of a performance, you know, incredible. Seriously. It was incredible. And also just like going back to the creatives, I mean, Richard Jones, the direction, you know, faultless, you know, like the lighting design, sound design, like as she's already mentioned. The set, as simplistic as it was so effective. You know, you're taking on a story. You know, the little bits and pieces, like a single shelf with a glass bottle on it, you know, it was enough to set up this person's home. What was interesting as well to do with the intimacy side was all the gasps from the younger members of the audience to do the intimacy, almost a little giggles and stuff. Yeah.
So funny. You looked at me, you were like, why are they? I went, school group.
Yes.
You just know they're going to react to that because it's a bit sexual. So it's like, yeah, of course you're going to get the uncomfortable giggle. Yeah, I've been there when I took kids. Yeah.
They're like, miss, look what they're doing, miss.
I've been there when I've taken students in the past to see Equus and you've got like the full frontal nudity scene and, you know, and all that. But yeah, no, incredible production. I was going to ask you actually, as a producer, and, you know, also thinking from a director perspective, you know, it could have been performed with an interval. They chose to go 1 hour 53. Do you think that sometimes, because obviously for Rosie, the intensity and the build up, the story, the journey of this woman's life as she goes through, you know, to have that break of that interval, you know, much as you need that sip of water, a bit of kind of take stock, but actually to keep the momentum going of that character and the through line of the progression, I guess that's quite a wise decision in that respect. I mean, I loved the fact that it was 7:30, 9:30 we were out, we literally legged it and got that Waterloo trail. I had a minute, got on it, brilliant. But yeah, what's your take on that?
Two things. One is that intervals are normally only for the venue to get more revenue in the bar and
money.
Also to give the actors a break and the stage management a chance to readjust the set. Now, none of that needed to happen last night. And I'm guessing if it's an actual in-house production of Old Vic, you know, of course they want the bar revenue, but it's not so necessary. But also bear in mind, as you just said, with like the whole thing of the performance of Rosie, she having a break, it could adjust the whole flow of where she was going because it was escalating. So it might, it, for us as well, because the thing is, a lot of it was quite uncomfortable to watch, not in the sense that it was bad, because it obviously wasn't. It was that whole thing of like, when you're going with it through her, all the pain she's going through, like of the abuse and stuff. And obviously, you know, it's based on the true crime story of Ruth Snyder from 1928. You know, all these things that's going through her mental health and stuff, you needed to stay with her. I think if you had a break, I think it would have given us a breather, but I don't know. I think it was a very good decision to just go for it.
Yeah, I think so. Another great directorial decision. But yeah, I think also, well, I don't want to spoiler alert, but yeah, the trial scene, you know, titled The Law, was also incredibly powerful with what they did with the lighting and audience and keeping us all in check. But I'll leave it there. But that was really a great decision, I thought. The contrast between the very, very dark moments and then the very, very bright moments really kept us as audience members on our toes. So yeah, that was fantastic. That's running till the 1st of June. That is highly, highly recommended. I'd go and see that again.
Moving on from a brilliant performance by Rosie to another brilliant performance, this time by Billy Crudup in Harry Clark, which is by David Cowell and directed by Lee Silverman. It's on a limited run. It finishes very soon on the 11th of May. I don't even know if there's any tickets left. It was absolutely spellbound. It was brilliant. I mean, he's one of my favorite all-time actors anyway. I love him in The Morning Show, which is the newest thing he's in at the minute, with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. On Apple TV. Now, Harry Clark, it's very funny. It's very poignant and sad in places as well. But he is playing, I think it's 12 different characters, male and female, different voices, stuff. And you really felt with him. So basically, the setup in this is Harry Clark has a secret. Well, Philip Brugelstein, has a secret, but people only have eyes the seductive Londoner Harry. So this guy is in America called Philip. He's unhappy. He ends up with an English accent as a child. And he's unhappy with his life. He's quite an introverted person. And he creates this kind of like alter ego called Harry Clark. Now, Harry Clark is incredibly charismatic. He's confident. He doesn't say no to anything. So everything's a yes. And he gets himself into all sorts of problems. Now, they've compared this show to like stories like The Talented Mr. Ripley and Saltburn. So the idea is that Harry Clark keeps the audience guessing, charting the exploits of an awkward Midwestern man who moves to New York City to charm his way into a wealthy family. similar to what happens in Saltburn, but not as explicit in places. But it was a lot of fun. Now, the actual performance by Billy, like, you know, an hour and I think it's an hour and 20 minutes straight through. Again, love a show with no interval, nice one actor. Never leaves the stage. The stage is very simplistic, but it works incredibly well. Now, what I mean by that, it had like a backdrop which had a very simplistic scenic design, but the lighting changes would give you the sense of where you were. And obviously there was sound design that helped amplify where you were within the story. I couldn't fault this show at all. What I also loved as well were the moments where he, not actually ad-lib, because I've never only seen it once, and I don't have the scripts, so I don't know which parts, but there was a lot of audience kind of like, not participation, that didn't happen at all. But I mean, like, for instance, he sang a song as part of his act. It was a karaoke thing, and the real audience applauded him after. So things like that, and he took a little bow. So there's little bits like that. Like he was, you know, really engaged with us, really telling us a story, and we really were with him. What was also interesting as well, there was lots of groups of women. Now, obviously, Billy's got a fan base. And he was definitely making use of that. But all their little bottles of Prosecco and all sitting there, all very lovely. And they were really engaged and really kind of heightening everything that was going on stage. Now, sadly, I don't think you're going to get a chance to see it. It's a shame it can't extend. Kathy Estella, Solve a Murder, is going in next at the Ambassador's Theatre. So there's no room to extend that. And then you've got Benjamin Button going in after that. So hopefully it does another turn somewhere, but I very much doubt Billy would do it. But I think, I don't know, there's other actors that could play the part, but I have to say this was terrific. And I'm so pleased I got to see him up close on stage. I was with a friend of mine, Simon Meaden, and he managed to bag us some really cool seats near the front of the middle of the stalls. So it was nice to see him up close and doing what he's best at. Like I said, I've only ever seen him on TV and in film. So seeing him like that close on stage, it was like one of the highlights of theatre for me this year so far, definitely.
Excellent. Sounds fabulous. So I'm not going to get the chance to see that at all, which is really sad. But sounds absolutely fantastic. Wow. We've got a lot of things coming up as well. Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York.
Yes.
What else have you got booked in? I can't even think. Oh, we've got Minority Report. I'm going to see Hamilton again.
Oh, the list is there. We'll be rattling off names for forever, you know. Oh, but so much going on. We don't want to give it all out to our audience. We want to kind of keep some of it a surprise.
No.
But there's some terrific shows coming up, which we'll be talking about after we've seen
and
them.
And interviews.
Yeah, Priscilla
as well.
The Party. Anyway.
So much booked in. It's crazy. And then obviously we're going to start, well, the weather's going to hopefully pick up, and then we'll be doing all the open air theatre as
well. We will.
My favourite part of the year. Fabulous. Well, I was lucky enough to go backstage at the Gielgud Theatre for John Cassavante's opening night, a new musical. And I had a fabulous chat with Amy Lennox and Benjamin Walker.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Walker from Opening Night for Theater Audience.
How are we?
We're good. This is a cozy little room. I've never been in here before, and I'm really enjoying the wallpaper.
It's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful theater. Mm. We did get a talking to about the wallpaper in this theater. You're
not allowed to put anything on it. No. Really? Get in trouble.
It's old and listed.
And the wallpaper is pricey.
Yeah. Over at Hadestown, just so as you know, they've been wrapping walls in gold. Versace wallpaper.
What?
Yeah.
The Versace?
Inside information.
Sounds a bit tacky to me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Less is more, I always say.
Yeah.
Okay. Each to their own.
Yep. Mm. Well, it's hell over there.
I literally are down there.
Well,
way down.
Very good. Very
way
good.
Down. That was really good.
He does stand up, so yeah. We're in trouble.
Talking about stand up. I know we're meant to be talking about opening.
That's all right. It's not unrelated, actually, because there are moments in the show that I have to just make up.
And much to our entertainment and amusement.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the cast to laugh. Genuinely, because the show is about a show falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I guess Sheridan's brain falling apart at one point, which she does brilliantly. But there are moments that we have to kind of, they're different every night. Not unlike stand-up, where you have a structure, material you know, but because it's live every time and you have this set of people that are watching you, and that you have to read the temperature of them, that some of the skills from stand-up, I think, are pretty applicable, actually.
Yeah.
Where you kind of go, okay, they're not going to laugh at this, so let me pivot.
I sit there watching it and think, gosh, if they'd got someone else to do this role,
it'd have been terrible.
Well, it'd have been awful. Or, you know, but it was, yeah, you have one hell of a skill set in that area. It's really fun to watch.
I mean,
you never know what he's going to do. And honestly, it's just like, I just guffaw. Like, I totally non-characterful laugh the other day.
Aww.
Yeah. You are funny.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. That's it. I'm not giving you any more compliments.
All right, great. No pressure tonight.
Yeah.
You weren't funny.
No, you've lost it.
You know what I said earlier?
Yeah, you peaked. Bye. Yeah.
But it's been recorded, so I can reference it at any time.
Yes, of course you can. Yes.
You're not so bad yourself.
No, thanks.
I do. I'm gonna sing her praises a little bit. One of the unique things about the show is you never really get to leave the stage. Like, all the actors are kind of watching as actors when they're not in scenes. And then we have stage managers that are visible, that are actually running the show. And
So they were the actual stage managers, not actors dressed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, they're really checking the lights. And like, there's this lovely sound tech man, Felix. He's 18. It's his first show on the West End, and every once in a while he'll just come up to you like and just move your microphone, which is you wish you could have in any show, just somebody who's making sure you're
but sometimes I'll be sat on the green room table, which is on stage because we have no wings, and then suddenly I'll just feel this little tickle and he's there.
Yeah, he's just there with his little spider fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, but all that to say, I have the best seat in the house to watch Amy sing every night.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just sublime.
Well, sometimes it's interesting. Depends on how clammy my fingers are with the guitar.
Yeah, she accompanies herself.
Oh yeah, that's that beat.
That's not stressful at all.
No, I mean, I didn't sign up for that. It's mad. Like, that just got flung on me in rehearsals.
Oh, you've risen to the
challenge. I think while
we were
doing
that,
is that the moment where the camera's right in your face as well?
Yeah, she's in a tight close-up. While she's playing guitar on the lip of the stage.
With an audience member. Someone was in front of me just coughing right in my... That was really hard.
Better than sleeping.
Yes, that is true. I've had that too in other productions of things. It's always difficult to
wake them up.
It is once they're gone, that's it.
Very expensive nap.
It really is, but many people do it. It's wild. Anyway, we digress.
I have seen that.
Sleepers.
It happened to me on Cadbury quite a lot.
Which is
on my
fine,
first
as long
number.
As they're not next to you and snoring.
Yeah.
It happened a lot on Cadbury on the most expensive seats, on those sort of little, really? You know, the ones right at the front.
Yeah.
And it would be like it was almost like, I like to play guess what, who these people are sort of thing. And I always sort of thought, it's some almost retired banker and his wife. And she's there quite enjoying herself, absolutely hammered on the champagne. And he's immediately asleep. I've just appeared. And I'm singing Don't Tell Mama. And I was quite aggressive. Like, I was throwing fags and I was like, you know, I was really quite.
He's in banking.
And I just shouted and it didn't. Oh, gosh. Oh, it's still there. Sorry, no. And it didn't wake him up. I couldn't do it.
Bless
his heart. But that's a very expensive nap.
Really expensive.
And I love a nap, but I mean, I wouldn't.
I'm not gonna pay for it.
No. I can nap anywhere for free.
Could get a good, nice hotel room for that kind of.
Yeah.
But you could. Yeah. And then
we haven't had nappers, really. I haven't noticed them.
No.
People are paying attention and trying to kind of find their way through the weeds of this show, which is purposefully muddy.
Yeah.
But
it's like the film is the same.
If you fall asleep early and you wake up in this one, you'd think you're on another planet. Yeah.
Yeah. It is intense. Yeah. It's an intense journey. I loved it.
Yeah,
oh,
I loved
thanks.
It.
Right, good.
No, because when I did my review, and a lot of the reviews were coming out, it was quite and it's quite Marmite-y.
Yeah,
I think,
sure.
Very much so. And I mean, I loved it. I was in it. I was there. And I mean, theatre's subjective. And
it's very on the art spectrum. Evo always sort of polarizes. I worked with Evo about 7 years ago on Lazarus when it came to London, and we got 1 and 5-star reviews.
Isn't that great?
Which I love. I mean, it was interesting because
it makes people want to come and see it.
And also it's kind of, you know, some people like to be, they like to, you know, those are people that like to analyze as they go through, and they need to understand why and where and how immediately. I think they struggle with shows like Lazarus and this. And the people that can sort of treat it like as if you're walking to an art gallery and you just allow it to sort of flow over your head. And then you find people sort of saying, gosh, I'm still thinking about opening night, and it's been 2 or 3 days. I'm still thinking about it. I get that quite a lot, messages saying, gosh, I'm really, like, it's a lot to think about, and it's still in my head, which I love. I mean, the amount of things I've seen, I go, oh, I enjoyed that, and gone. It's straight out of my head.
That's the worst experience that you want people to have, which is, that was fun. Where are we going to eat?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even if it's an argument between two people that, like, that's the goal of the show. Break up couples.
I loved it. I hated it.
Let's talk about it. No, but the great thing is, then they'll talk about it, and then they'll, like, make out and, like, make it, you know, be great. Like, you're welcome. But it is, you know, polarizing is exactly the word. Like, in the same way that, like, Marina Abramovich is polarizing. You know, it's like, I just watched a woman sit in a chair for 5 hours. Why? But it's also, if you invest in that, there's something deeply moving about seeing someone point a bow and arrow at her chest. Like, I'm glad that those things exist, and I'm proud to be a part of this.
Yeah, me too.
Can't all be still life.
No. And we have to take risks. It's all about that. I mean, we've all been to the theater where we've gone to, I mean, look, there's a place for total commercial theater. We need it. We need to, you know, production companies need to make money, of course they do, but then they also, with that, they balance that out with making, you know, art and taking risks and trying new things, and also it's a learning curve for everyone. I think nobody stops learning, and if anyone thinks that they are, then they're, I think that they've given up, quite frankly. We all have to keep learning, and the only way to learn is to sort of go into a realm that you're not you know, and I think a lot of this has been that.
I think it's always really interesting when, I mean, I've not seen the film, but when it was 1971. So, you know, to take a film and then put it on the stage as a musical, there's a lot of that happening.
Sure.
It's been happening for the last five, six years, this is a formula piece. Broadway.
Now that you think of it.
And quite different films.
Yeah,
some musicals, some not. Some not a musical, then becomes a musical. And, you know, some people would be like, oh, no, it's not like the film. And other people are like, I never saw the film.
No, a lot of people haven't seen the film because it's very cult, very niche-y kind of cult. I hadn't seen it. I had to go and watch it. And it is, it's very, Cassavetes is very niche.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this, though, what that I like about it is that we get to watch a film be made every night. Because it's all filmed live. Like, I think Cassavetes would love that.
Yeah.
That you're, you know, watching the deconstruction of a character while the simultaneous construction of three art forms at the same time.
It's great. Documentary.
Music, a play, and a film at the same time.
Like,
and I mean, I've always loved a play within a play.
Great.
Those shows really... you know, and I've just recently seen Made It in the Queue, and you know, and even just like Amidst the Night String, where you've got the real mechanicals, and I've always enjoyed that because I love making theatre, directing students, etc. And so to see a play within a play, and then see the documentary being made at the same time, whilst you start learning the character. And but how was that in rehearsal?
It was there from day one, really.
Essentially,
yeah. Like, I mean, it's odd. Well, there was a fun day, and it's one of the days that I actually really loved about Evo. Evo is a unique artist in how he thinks about things and how he visualizes things, and I've learned a lot from him through this process. But one day, we were talking about, I think John asked the question. It was like, so in this moment, am I me the actor, me the actor playing the actor, or me in the play that this the actor played by me? at which point, I think Ivo just went, yes. Which is a completely legitimate question and kind of momentarily frustrating. But also, once you relax, it's really disarming and liberating. That it is.
I think we've all been through that process with this, yeah, I think.
Like, so what's going on? So, let's figure it out.
Yeah, we want to, you know, I think that generally the experience of putting on a show is, you know, you go through rehearsals and you figure it out. And then by the time you get to the theatre, you kind of know what you're doing. And then you kind of just, it's all kind of tightening the knots and doing the shading and all that. But with this, it was, you had to just jump in and float around. And then actually, it all worked out.
Yeah, it's like he built a playground.
Yeah.
And as you go, he goes, I really like that moment when you're on the slide. Stay on the slide for that moment. But there is a bit of play that you have to motivate, and as an ensemble you have to kind of come together and look after each other and make sure you're hitting the places on the playground that he needs, but also still playing. And
I think there was a real drive for all of us to find our clarity, that it's made us as an ensemble really tuned into each other in a way that
I haven't experienced.
No, it's, and it's happened organically, but because
is the thing about Ivo. I think, I don't think he'd ever admit to it, but I think that is part of why he does it the way that he does.
Yeah, probably. Like,
I don't think it's a manipulative thing.
No.
I just think that it's when he sees the group become cohesive, he knows he's on the right track.
Yeah.
Even if it's maybe, it comes from a place of friction often, of we don't know what we're doing. You're like, good.
Yeah.
Keep asking. Yeah. I think that's a conscious decision on his part.
And it's funny because we're all there being actors going, oh, well, I don't know. What does this mean at this bit? And Dorothy was a tricky one because, you know, there was times in rehearsals where I was sort of, because for a while we didn't have the camera. It came two weeks in.
Yeah,
so there was. Right. I remember there was a week where I was just sat around, and a lot of what Dorothy's, you know, apart from when I am actively, you know, I am observing, and I'm sort of, and there's sort of a lot of what I've found now. There's a lot of unsaid material. Like she is very active. But it's this sort of stillness and this. And Rufus actually said to me, he said, which kind of really honed it in for me. He said, you know, Dorothy, I think, sees the whole. I like to think of it as being seen through Dorothy's eyes. She's the only. She's the outsider.
She's the most sane person.
Yeah, she's the most sort of well-rounded human left.
Yeah.
And she's already, you know, she's taken the decision to not be part of that world anymore. Yes. So she's kind of come back in on the sidelines, and it is really interesting because I do find it really fascinating because you sit there every night, some little nugget comes that she notices something, and how I feel about each of the characters moves and changes as well.
And it's always difficult to pay another actor a specific compliment because it might ruin the moment.
Yeah.
But I'll see if I can do it in a roundabout way that doesn't screw up your performance. But it's also a compliment to Ivo and something that's unique about this piece is that because you're on stage in quotes all the time, there are a few moments where, you know, there's an altercation in the, you know, down center, and it's, you know, Sheridan is struggling with her character and Manny's shouting at her, but then this Jumbotron will have an ultra close-up of someone who's not in the altercation.
Yeah.
And you just see this reflection of what's happening through the eyes of someone else.
Mm, yes.
I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
Ooh.
Like just that those little moments of like surgical dissection of the story that I find really interesting. And I don't know anybody that does that.
Yeah. And I think I have noticed a couple of faces in the audience that have seen it a few times, and we absolutely love that, because I think that's why they come again and again.
Yeah, it's a rewatch if it were a movie.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Those close-ups, are they planned on specific characters at specific moments? Or could it be semi? So it's a little bit...
Because also, you know, by the green room table, we have an editor who's toggling between cameras as we go. And it's happening live, it's going to be different every night.
Yeah.
You know, this marriage of technology and live theater is—it's never going to be perfect. So, you know, it does change everything.
Very clever. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you're sort of, you know, active in the moment and active listening, and you know, but all of that just adds to that.
Yeah, I forget sometimes. It wasn't until the last couple of days of tech until I turned around, I was like, "Ah, crap! I'm on the screen." I've been up there this whole time, and they're like, "Yeah." I should take this more seriously.
I was very disappointed in that. For the first few shows, I decided that when I sat on the green room table, I was going to eat an easy peeler at that moment. I was like, "This is the moment where I'm going to sit down and enjoy an easy peeler." And
nope.
I little
you are safe.
Unbeknownst
no way.
To me, I was taking up a third of that screen, apparently.
Wow.
And I was sat there just stuffing my little face like a baby bat.
But it was probably
Well, Dan Raggett, our associate, decided it would be more funny to not let me just keep doing it for another two shows, and so he could laugh before telling me.
Sure.
Before telling me that, actually, just so you know, probably best you don't eat the easy peeler then. But I've really enjoyed the last couple of shows. So I don't do that anymore.
Well, that's a shame. You should work it back in at some point.
You think?
Tonight.
Yeah. Okay, I'll try.
What do you do then instead now?
It depends. Sometimes I chat to Gus, the actor. Sometimes I play Sudoku on my actual Dorothy's mobile. We've all got prop phones, but they are connected to the Wi-Fi. Sometimes she's on Rightmove. Sure,
Dorothy.
That.
No, that's very Dorothy, actually.
Yeah, I think it is.
She's always got one
it's
foot out the door.
Amy.
Yeah.
I love Rightmove. I'm just looking for my fantasy. I mean, sorry, Dorothy is looking for her fantasy pied de terre that she's putting out to the. Yes!
On Rightmove.
She really wants to live in Angel and have a little two bed apartment.
Sure.
Or one bed, whatever.
One bed. Don't,
you know.
Don't
be greedy.
Modest.
Don't be greedy. For a mere, what, 1 million? Sure, no problem.
Are there any other sort of happy accidents that have happened in the show that you've kept or in rehearsal?
Oh, one of my favorites is John Marquez has this great line.
Oh, yes.
Where, because when we're doing the play, and for your listeners, I'm using finger quotes. when we're doing the play in the play, when it starts to fall apart, they turn up all the microphones of all the people watching so that you can hear their discussion backstage about how it's going. Mm-hmm. And Sheridan is brilliantly kind of starting to crack, and she just starts to spontaneously sing.
See, she bursts into song.
And it's unsettling for the people trying to do the play, and unsettling for the director and the writer, because there's no songs in her play. And, but John, who plays this really endearing producer, just one night he just went, "Oh gosh, she's got a great voice." And Eva was like, keep it, that's great.
Yeah.
And just those little moments, yeah, that's a keeper.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's really good. It gets a very funny laugh.
Yeah.
It does.
Because it's part of the storytelling. You know, David, the producer, is enamored with her.
Yeah.
It all comes from this little world we've created. And because every little moment can instantly be plucked out and made big or shared with someone else who's also finding their way through it. Little moments like that can happen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a bit harder to do in O'Neill. Yeah, you can't play fast and loose with Tennessee Williams.
No.
Or you shouldn't. He nailed it the first time. Leave it alone.
So you've worked with Ivo before?
Yeah.
How similar? And it was quite a time.
It was different because I was, they'd already done it in New York. And then the three out of the four leads were doing it in London that did it in New York. And I slotted in. Kristen Milioti couldn't do it, so I got to do it instead. Very happy to get into Kristen Milioti's shoes. I think she's rather cool. She's one of my faves. They kind of knew what they were doing already. I kind of just had to just jump in and get on with it. So from a, this is entirely different. People kept coming up to me going, is this... So tell me, you've worked with him before. Yeah. And I went, I'm sorry, I can't help you here. This is all unknown territory for all of us. Sorry.
Yeah. But I think also for him. Like, yes. How ballsy is that? Just every time.
He's defiantly.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to do this. I mean, in some ways, he uses the same bits of vocabulary, which are unique to him. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, a little life. I mean, I don't think he... Unless he goes, well, this scares the crap out of me. I don't think he's going to do it. I think that's cool.
Yeah, he's so defiantly up for trying new things. And he's not interested in pleasing the masses.
I mean, militantly so.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think with that, you get hits and you don't get hits, and both are fine, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you know, I mean, it's the same with food. Otherwise it's just all McDonald's, man.
Oh.
And I love McDonald's, but you can't eat it every day.
You certainly
every can't. Once in a while you gotta go to a restaurant where they're like, here's an ant covered in gold.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's delicious.
Is it?
Yeah, it tastes... I'm speaking from experience.
Really?
There's this restaurant in Brazil where the guy sources everything from the Amazon. And yeah, he brings out like a rock with some moss on it, and there's an ant that he's covered in gold, and it tastes like lemongrass. It's profound.
Do you pick the gold out after? Does it? Where does the gold go?
Gold leaf. Gold leaf. Yeah. It's spray. I'm sure it's like in a can or something. You know, no, it's not like eating precious metals, really.
Always tells me stories about when she lived in Paris.
Oh.
And yeah, in her student days, in the Crypto Rondesmalt and all this.
Oh,
and she used to eat chocolate ants.
Sure.
Yeah. You used to get the ones in lollipops as well.
Yeah.
Insect lollipops. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
There's a place for everyone in the table of cuisine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love how we moved on to...
Yeah.
It's still in reference to the show.
Mix them with chocolate raisins and no one
would know. Yeah, instead of an easy peeler, ants.
No!
Yeah, eating a cockroach.
Oh God!
Now she's made a choice, guys.
Yeah, no.
Even Evo would be like, "That's too far."
Too bold.
What does it say about her character and the turmoil of her relationship, though?
Well, there you go.
So people would be thinking about that for a week after.
To Dorothy, I mean, gosh,
really bugging out.
Oh God!
Sorry.
Oh no!
I'm not proud of it.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
That was the stand-up comedy.
Oh yeah, down the drain. Yep, that's why it lasted. But also, like, that's the risk, because I try to do something different ish every night, and they're not all home runs, man. There was one I tried to do like a magic trick kind of thing with a napkin.
I enjoyed it. I saw it.
Sure, she didn't even see it.
No, she missed it. She had no idea that came out of her sleeve.
It wasn't in my sleeve.
Oh, where was it?
I'm never going to tell.
Oh, okay, well.
Because I'm never doing it again. But, you know, like the drive to be innovative and new so oftentimes needs a little gasoline. That's what our show is trying to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is.
How about that?
I like that. That's
really good.
But no one will understand it because I didn't say petrol.
They will.
No.
You get gasoline.
Gasoline.
That was dead on.
Was it?
Okay, yeah. Great.
Nailed it. Yeah, thanks.
I will not attempt you.
Oh, go on.
Nope. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
How does... So obviously this is set in a rehearsal room on Broadway.
Yeah.
How does it compare, the rehearsal room
in general, the experience?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a rehearsal room varies depending on the director anyway.
Yeah.
I think it entirely depends on the team and the producers and how they want to run it. I mean...
Yeah, there aren't as many chocolate bourbons in New York.
Oh, that's true. If you're talking biscuit selection...
Yeah, you're just going to have like...
I mean, do you even donuts? Have rich teas? I mean, not ginger really. Nuts?
You got a lot more coffee.
We had loads of coffee.
Yeah, but it wasn't really or good.
Talking of coffee, so on the side here we have... a Starbucks iced black coffee.
Yep.
As long as I've known him, every day that he's come in, he comes in with two every day. I mean, you must have
shares. I drink
shares.
A lot of
you
coffee.
Should have shares in Starbucks.
I should.
I don't know how he hasn't got heart palpitations, to be honest with you. You need to do the
but here. The QR codes on the back. All right.
Advert.
Yeah, for chocolate or golden ants and
golden
coffee.
Golden ants and coffee.
No, I do drink a lot of coffee.
You do?
But I also...
How are you alive?
Well, I can drink a double espresso and fall asleep. I can't
even have a cup of tea after 4 p.m. and not have and it not disrupt my sleep.
I can't do
and the opposite. No. After midday. Gosh, no. Yeah, it's Isn't it mad how our bodies are all different?
We're all so different. It's just a cornucopia
of
different personalities and body shapes,
bodily functions,
dreams.
Yeah.
Just like
the dreams.
That's right. Well done.
Woo! Very good.
Professional.
You should hang out with us more often. We'd probably get more done.
Can you explain the show to us? The only one in the room that makes sense. We talk about it.
And Dorothy.
Yeah. So they're just with her easy peeler.
We're with her little easy peeler. Yeah.
And the music is fun.
I love the music. The music is what I did all the workshops for this. I've sort of been involved in like, I don't know, for like over a period of around 3 years or something.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I absolutely fell in love with the music. I loved the sort of, he has so many genres mixed up in there, you know?
Yeah.
I love all the songs. I love them all. I think they're beautiful, and that's what kept me coming back really for more workshops, because they were more like kind of structural workshops. They weren't up on your feet type stuff. We didn't really do much of that, but it was really for the singing and the songs actually.
The band is great. Nigel's great.
Oh yeah,
that's another kind of selfish thing that I like, is that when I'm off stage a couple of times, when I'm not actually off stage, I get to sit next to our music director. And
does he use you? I get.
He's just so snide.
Oh, he's savage. Savage.
but he's not wrong. Yeah. Like every once in a while, you're walking off being like, I nailed that scene. And he just rolls his eyes.
Yeah. What was the best thing? He did one for me the other day, but he has a little room just off of the stage where I also use it for a quick change. And one day he knew I was coming, so he left a little to-do list on the desk. Wow. And the to-do list, it was his own personal to-do list that he happened to leave on the desk, and it said, to-do list. Number one, get some food. Like, you know, normal personal chore.
Things. I can keep reading.
Yeah, interesting. Number two, talk to Amy about her tuning. Number three, talk to Amy about her diction. Number four, discuss Amy's acting choices.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Oh, he's savage. So then I added to those. I sort of just flipped them all, you know.
Yeah.
Discuss Amy's acting choices and ask her. I don't know. What should I say? Something like, you know, how she's so talented.
And yeah.
Just like, how does she do it every night? How does she?
How does she have the stamina and skill?
And how can I be as good as her? Stuff like that. You know, I tried my best. He's very witty. He's witty.
He's so quick.
Not gonna lie. Most people are. But but yeah. What was it? That's it. He also leaves his phone on the side. And so I'm in there for the...
His actual phone?
His real life phone. Real life phone. And you know how an iPhone you can get on the camera without unlocking
it. Yes.
So...
couple of selfies.
So I have Lucy doing my hair. She's back combing my hair for my little updo at the end of the finale. and I have a sort of dressing gown on covering my lovely dress. I'm doing a bit of a makeup change. And he had a box of sulfadine on the side. So I just thought I'd send him a funny picture. So I took a photo on his phone of me, like a selfie. My hair's like this with a pink bridesmaids from TK Maxx drip gown and a pack of sulfadine. Just going for no reason. And then forgot about it. And then I got a text message the next morning with a picture, with that picture sent to me. And then he replied with, "Yes, that's what I take after I listen to Married."
Ooh.
Which is my song with the guitar. He's savage.
But I do love...
He means it in a banter way. It means he loves me.
He's the fact that he has the ability to do his job and also play around.
Oh yeah,
blows my mind. Not only is he a brilliant musician himself,
he's top notch.
But he's controlling this band of all these beautiful but sometimes odd pairings of instruments. Mm-hmm. He's finessing the music in its coordination with the narrative that's happening as it's different from night to night. He's kind of riding the emotional wave of this group of people and
whilst taking the piss out of whoever's next to him.
Yeah, while, you know, doing it with ease and grace and humor. Like I love just watching him work. That's one of my favorite parts, actually.
I do a lot of backing vocals at the beginning of the show because I don't actually come on until Talk To Me, which is that big, what do you call it? A quartet.
Yeah.
I couldn't think what the word was. So I just hang there on a little beanbag and sing away and just boost the thing. And I've really got to know all the band. It's been really lovely. Great. Just sit there and, they're brilliant. They're brilliant, yeah. And we all go out together. And we had a nice, you couldn't come. Shame, yeah. You missed out. It was fun.
Heard it was great. Glad you guys really had a lovely time.
Well, yeah, we are a social bunch. We all went to Flight Club.
Lovely, the darts.
Yeah, that was my idea. It's really fun. I can't remember. I don't know, probably. I was quite ill, actually.
It's not about that. It's about the taking.
Yeah, no, I did get some. There was a really good game there called Killer, where you kill off other teammates by, if you hit the right number, you get to kill another team, which is really fun. I did kill. I did murder some. Wow. Yeah, so yeah, I did win, actually.
Exactly. You don't throw the dart actually at the person. Sorry.
There's less people in the cast of bad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A little quieter, yeah.
You met Nancy. She's a ghost.
Yeah, she was alive once, yep. But not anymore.
Who thinks it was that car?
Well, thank you.
If you don't know the show, that's a great way to end.
What was that?
Because we talked about kind of these loose narratives and things, and then we just throw it at the end. And also, there's a ghost.
Yeah. Come see.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Or is she a ghost?
I did that. I love that you're saying that because I completely agree.
Yeah. Let's leave it there.
Is she a ghost? Oh, I'm excited.
Find out for yourselves. Come over and see us at the Gielgud Theatre for 6 weeks. Yay. Ending 18th of May.
Quick push stop. That's the best way to end.
Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Tune in next time and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. Until the next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.